This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Brentford FC, come on you Brentford.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London weekend review. And I'm Billy Grant. I'm sitting here after the game against Brighton in which we lost 1-0. And I'm sitting here with my chums, Dave Laney Lane. How are you?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you very much. Yeah, plenty to talk about. Tasted defeat for the first time. Not sure I like it, but it's good to chew the fat the morning after. So, yeah, looking forward to this little chinwag.
Definitely. We've also got in the house Simon Radford. How you doing, Simon?
Yeah, not too bad, all things considered. You know, it's, I didn't think it would be this much of a setback losing a game, because you expect to lose a lot, right? But as Dave said, lots to talk about.
Definitely a lot to talk about. So listen, we're going to go through our weekend review podcast as it is. Very, very simple. We'll just go through a number of points for the game and we'll just get our thoughts on that. So listen, Laney, what was your main takeaway from that game?
Main takeaway is the reality that everyone had been telling us. You know, if you don't take your chances and this division, you're going to get punished. So it was kind of listening to experienced fans, people that have been here, established Premiership clubs, and listening from how they've learnt. So, you know, Palace fans have said it to us. You know, you play well, you've got to take your chances. Brighton fans warned before, you know, you can soak it up, but you've got to take your chances. As well as we defended, which we did, you know, we were wasteful up top. And a couple of those, if luck goes our way, you know, we win that game as well. So, yeah, I think it was a realisation that, you know, we're not going to go undefeated forever. And, yeah, it was a little bit of a wake-up call, I'd say.
I mean, were you... I was going to use the word. I mean, the thing is, again, I'm going to come back to in the pre-match podcast. I said that this was a must-win game, and we didn't win. And I mean, were you gutted afterwards?
No, I wasn't gutted. I was just, you know, it was an unusual feeling. We haven't lost, and I haven't seen us lose in person for you know, probably 2 years.
Cardiff away was the last time that we actually saw our team lose, which was on the 22nd, I think it was, of it might be Cardiff away or Luton away, one of those two, which is in February.
Luton, yeah, we drew the Cardiff game, so yeah, it would have been Luton. So yeah, a long time ago. So no, I wouldn't say gutted. Obviously, we have to take the positives out of that. You know, that's all we can do. We have to learn. You know, it's a cliche. We do have to learn from these defeats. You know, sometimes we're going to be outclassed, and sometimes we've got ourselves to blame. We're going to be kicking ourselves. I think yesterday was kicking ourselves a little bit.
Simon, I mean, what was your main takeaway from that game?
I mean, not too dissimilar from Dave in the fact that obviously sort of the main theme is taking our chances, but also it kind of, just to add maybe to that point, is the way that we set up is we kind of play what I would call like low volatility football. Like, it's not like a basketball game where we're opening up ourselves at the back and going forward and trying to outscore the opposition. Like with our three at the back and with three sort of combative midfielders, we're going to be in every game. And in fact, we won on XG and the battle of the XG against Tony Bloom, who's also in that world. But when you've got sort of, I think it was 0.69 to 0.23 to us on XG. But if that's the case, if someone takes a goal on their end, you really got to make sure you take goals on our end. Because, and then I think, you know, we talk about a lot about luck. I think in another world, Brian would have got one or two of those chances and we'd be sitting here talking about a 1-0 win rather than a 1-0 loss. So I think it's easy to, you know, to lose and be a bit sort of, oh, it's all a disaster. But I think what it shows, to Dave's point, is if we took our chances, we'd have be having a very different conversation.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, you talk about the XG. I mean, for me, the main takeaway, I suppose, is just, you know, the opposition, all the opposition always have a player, you know, one player who can just destroy you, who can kill you. And I thought in that game, even though I thought we contained them for pretty much for 90 minutes, they had one, they didn't have a shot, really, actually. I've checked it. Like I said, you looked at the XG. I mean, for me, the XG actually, and I know a lot of people don't particularly like XG, but I said it's a really good indicator. And I was on the Brighton Rock podcast beforehand. I was also on the Albion Raw podcast. So they were laughing, saying, because it's Brentford and Brighton, we're both into stats, it's going to be like a really high XG game. And I laughed, saying, and it's going to be no goals. And the irony is, like I said, I've got the XG was 0.48 for Brentford and 0.17 for Brighton. And all their sort of main SG just came from, I think, from one chance. So one in sort of almost one in 10, one in two in 10, you know, whereas most of ours actually came from Brian Mbeumo's chance, which is 25-26% as well. You know, one of his three chances that he missed sort of quite early on. So for me, just realizing, you know, that Trossard, who was one of the players that you looked at, you thought he's quite dangerous, this person, but we managed to contain them, give him a minute, and they'll score. So for us, you know, this may come down to a number of things which we might talk about later, but that was my main takeaway. But just coming back to the game again, Brentford eye catcher, and give us a marks out of 10. Who is the player for you, Laney?
I'm probably going to go Christopher Ayer. I thought he was really strong at the back. He looked composed. His partnership with Pontus is really, like, you know, solid, I think. And then the way he kind of comes over when Sergi's pushing forward. I thought Sergi caught the eye a bit, but no, I'll go Christopher Ayer. It just because, you know, he really does epitomise the way we play. You know, he covers for when the wing back goes forward, and he also gets forward himself when sort of, you know, just to kind of rotate. So yeah, Christopher Ayer, I'm very impressed with that signing.
And give us marks out of 10?
Probably 7.5 out of 10, I'd say.
Okay, 7.5. Simon?
So there's obviously a bunch of people you could pick. I mean, it's really boring to say Ivan, right? But he had another really good game. You could almost pick him every week. Thought Rico had a really good game. But I'd probably go, and I'm probably cheating a little bit here, I'd probably go for Baptiste for at least the first 70, 75 minutes of the game when I think he tired. But in those 70, 75 minutes, he looked really exciting, like someone who could really hold down that third central midfield role and someone who could really help us burst forward from midfield and maybe link up play with Brian and Ivan. So I give him a 7 out of 10, and probably cheating a bit in terms of probably not the last 20 minutes when he got a bit knackered. But yeah, I thought Baptiste looked really promising for us.
That's interesting as well. I went with, obviously I go with my daughter every game, but she came with one of her friends, another Bella, actually her mate Bella, and I asked her at in the pub afterwards, who is her favourite Brentford player, which player she thought plays best, and she said Baptiste as well, and she has not got rose-tinted glasses like us. She just saw it as it is as a 12-year-old. So that was quite an interesting observation from her. For me, I thought, again, we come down to the man, the man mountain that he is, Jan Ault as well. I thought he had a great game, and I think, you know, he did what Jan Ault does. You know, he should have scored a goal. You know, he got a goal that was parried by the goalkeeper nearly on half-time, but on top of that as well, you know, it shows that when he went off, you know, we suffered a little bit of a slump. Not saying it's all just about him, but I think he's a massive key player.
What's your out of 10, Bill? What's your out of 10?
Sorry, I'm going to give him 8 out of 10 for the Jan Ault as well, because I think he is such a key player for us. Going to Brighton, the danger person for Brighton, Simon.
Well, I think everyone's been hyping up Bissouma, right? Saying he was, I mean, I think Liverpool were linked with him. Everyone was saying he was world class, but he was really, really good, wasn't he? I mean, I think kind of in the centre midfield, he really, really caught the eye. And then I think Trossard even, you know, obviously scored the goal, so it's an obvious thing to say, but I think he did look the most dangerous. I think, for example, I think Neil had quite a quiet day. I think Trossard was the one who, when he got the ball in the final third, you were a little bit more worried about. So I'd say Trossard and Bissouma stood out for me.
Yeah, you can't really look past Bissouma. Not really, I don't think. I thought he was the player on the pitch. I thought, yeah, you know, you can see why. big clubs are in for him, bigger clubs are in for him. I thought Sanchez in goal, Brighton, I thought he looked absolutely perfect. I don't think he looked like we were going to get anything past him. And Trossard, obviously, you know, he grew into the game probably when Yanel went off. So Bissouma all day long for me.
And for me as well, it sounds like we've been all talking to each other. I mean, there's the two players that stood out for me from day one, or I'll say from day one, from the first minute anyway, that's Trossard and Bissouma. Bissouma was the person that was getting involved. He was doing the box-to-box. He was full of energy, breaking us down. I thought he's a great player. And I guess he got to the stage where I said, he's actually really annoying me, because he was the kind of player that you were trying to do things and he just wasn't allowing you to do things, and he was just getting in the way, and he was, you know, he was just lively. So 100% it's Bissouma for me as well, even though Trossard, like I said to you, was the other player who I thought, you know, was the one. And again, Lane, say it, or the Dutchman who was beside me, said it as soon as he got that ball on the edge of the bear area and he just turned around before he even struck it. I went to Dutchman, it's in, and then it hit the back of the net. So that Trossard moment was quite annoying. But just, Simon, just give us some marks out of 10 for Bissouma.
I think he was an 8.5 for me.
Okay, Laney?
Yeah, an 8 for me. Yeah,
8 for you. And for me, I'm going to give him an 8. I'm going to give him an 8.5 out of 10. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. Let's come to, and let's talk about this, because, you know, obviously we've talked about the player of the match for Brighton, but I would like to know what your stinker of the match, and the stinker of the match doesn't necessarily have to be on the pitch, it could be anywhere, it could be before, we're talking about the whole day's experience now, so just give me your stinker of the match.
It sounds a little bit grumpy old man, which I probably am. It's going to be the referee again. I thought it was okay. He seemed to be giving us quite a lot of decisions early on. I thought Canos could have got sent off for that arm challenge early on. So I thought a yellow card was... I'd breathed a bit of a sigh of relief there. There was also a time where he had no idea who to give a throw into, so he gave it to us. And there was one or two others that I thought he let play on, and he gave us the advantage a little bit. But his second half, maybe because we were a bit closer to him, I thought that he just lost it. The referee. I know it's a bit of an easy one to blame the ref for everything, but there's a couple of games recently I've been a bit sort of surprised about the lack of consistency.
And if you check the post-match podcast, which we do in the stands and also in the pubs afterwards, we talked to Brentford and Brighton fans as well. And interestingly, both sets of fans, I think, talked about the referee and said that the referee didn't do either set of teams any justice because he was so poor. So I think it's a bit of a common consensus that the referee, as we both sang from both ends, Brentford and Brighton, you don't know what you're doing. He certainly didn't seem to know what he's doing. Marks out of 10, ref, for the ref, Laney?
In badness or in goodness? So like the high number is...
Yeah, so how stinky was he? I mean, 10 would be properly stinky.
Oh, he was probably a 7. Yeah, I mean, most refs are about 6 anyway, aren't they? So, yeah, 7.
Okay. And Simon, give us his stinker.
Well, Dave stole mine. But I would say what he said was that the ref allowed play to go on a couple of times, gave us some advantage. But there was one particularly which made me want to tear my hair out. When he didn't give the advantage, when Brian was sort of one-on-one with the last defender and then called it back for a foul to us. And it was infuriating. But knowing Brian's day, maybe that wouldn't have worked out. It was one of those days for him. But also, I think we'll probably get onto it. But I've been hearing, and this is more your domain because I think it was in your stand, that the stewards also maybe didn't have the greatest day in terms of people standing up and sitting down and all the rest of it too. So we can talk about that in a little bit. But let's have a joint stinker between the ref and the stewards then.
Okay. So and the marks out of 10?
Probably a 7 in terms of stinkiness again, I think. It sounds about right.
7 for a joint stinkiness. And that's interesting that you said that song, because we didn't talk before the podcast, because this has been done very, very early on Sunday morning. And I've got a stinker, so you've allowed me to give one of my stinkers as the stinker, because I actually brought up the fact that the stewards were actually telling people to sit in the West Stand, which, if people out there, they know that the West Stand was actually kind of sold on the premise, even though, I suppose, officially you're not really allowed to. That is going to be the standing. It's going to be the Ealing Road end of Brentford. So everyone goes there, everyone stands, and that's what you do. But we've got stewards, we've seen stewards telling people to, and actively telling them to sit down in front of us, you know, down in the West End lower. And then also beside me, I had members of the Besotted crew as well, had people, the stewards telling them to sit down in the West End upper as well. And I think also at the back in the West End Alliance area as well, stewards are telling people to sit down. So there's obviously been some sort of lack of communication, or there's been something going on. But basically, the fact that stewards are actively telling us to sit down, and it was causing a few kerfuffles, I would say, that's not good at all. So, but, you know, that's, you've obviously thrown that into the pot, but before we let people know that we're not happy about that, obviously, I think the club was going to be aware of that to try and erect that, to correct that. For me, the stinker was actually, and again, this is a solidarity with all football fans. My Arsenal chums told me, you know, that's a terrible game for us, and we just wanted solace, so we wanted to go behind and have a drink. We couldn't get a drink in the Arsenal game, and they actually wrote things on their blogs and talked about it on their podcast that, you know, Brentford, they've got this brand new stadium, but you're not allowed to drink. I know that the away fans weren't allowed to drink at Griffin Park because there were no toilets there, so it made a bit of a problem if you've got sort of, you know, 1,800 fans all been drinking and then there's no loos. It causes a problem. So I kind of understood that. However, new stadium, the away fans not being able to drink isn't great. So the Brighton fans as well have been moaning about the fact that they weren't allowed to have a drink. My personal opinion, I think Lane's, everyone else, is that fans should be treated as you want to be treated when you go away. So if we go away, we should be treated in a certain way. If we go to Brighton, we wouldn't expect not to be given a beer. So if Brighton fans come down, they should be giving us a beer as well. So this is my stinker of the match, as far as I'm concerned. I think that, you know, the football fans should be treated as one. And the fact that the Brighton fans weren't allowed a beer, or any away fans aren't allowed a beer because they believe that fans behave better, or opposition fans behave better if they haven't got a drink, that's not quite the one for me. So I'm going to give that a massive breakbeat 9 out of 10 on the stinky front. Key moment, Simon?
Key moment was... I mean, there was probably a few where I think Brian probably on another day would have scored. And that was probably the key moment for me. I mean, it's hard when there's a last-minute winner not to pick the last-minute winner as the key moment. But I think probably one of Brian's chances probably counts for us. So that would be what I'd choose. I mean, I think if he takes one of them early, I think it's a different game.
So Brian, I mean, the thing is that he had probably three really good chances. And... you know, which one was for you was the most key?
Well, I suppose there was that one which I think, you know, sort of some of them he just sort of, you know, leaned back, I think, on a couple of them. But there was one which you've seen him score a million times before, where he tried to bend it in the far corner. And I think you've seen him score that goal a few times. So maybe if he had taken that, I think that would have been the big change in the game.
Lainey, your key moment?
For me... Ivan Toney's lob that just went over, I think if that goes in, Brentford know that a lot of things are going to go their way for the rest of the afternoon. I think if that goes in, one of them, Buemo's goes in, Jan Elts goes in, you know that it's going to, you know, someone's smiling at you somewhere, because it was just the most perfectly, well, almost perfectly audacitate chip. He saw him off his line. And he was brave enough and confident enough to go for it. I think, you know, another day, a little bit further out, a little bit of more of a poorer connection perhaps, and that just goes underneath the crossbar. But yeah, brilliant for trying it. And as I say, the key moment is if that goes in, I think we go on and we win that game, because other chances are going to be going our way too.
I mean that was a pretty amazing shot. I mean, I thought, because he did it, he didn't even sort of kind of think about it when he got the ball. He knew, it's almost like he knew what he was doing when the ball was, you know, he's going to come to it, didn't he? It was almost like reflex. And probably, if anything, it's probably a little bit of a gutter that he was actually as close as he was to the goal. And he was probably about, what, 35 yards from the goal? If he was like 38 yards or something like that, that would have gone in the back of the net. But it probably goes to show you what a clever player he is. And do you think that sort of sums up that, because he has only scored one goal so far, that he's been a bit unlucky, Lainey?
Possibly. I mean, he's drifting into areas where he probably wouldn't want the ball, and we're relying on him to win everything in the air, to knock down And he's doing that, but we're not kind of getting the knockdowns on the edge of the area. And as good as Mbeumo is, sometimes he doesn't look like a second striker, whereas Marcus Force possibly he's got more of that kind of striker instinct, or he's played that role all the way through his career. Mbeumo's strength is kind of drifting in from wide positions still, isn't it? So, we're still learning. I'd like to see the pair of them slightly closer, perhaps. But, it's that width and being able to get the ball wide, which is one of our supreme strengths. So, yeah, I don't think Tony's kind of getting the service from other people that we need him to get. But he's providing the service for others, which, he is an all-rounder. But if we want to see him score goals, we're going to need him getting perfectly pinpointed balls to his head or to his feet in the danger area. We haven't seen enough of that.
For me, the key moment, actually, I believe the key moment was actually the substitutions. And that's going a little bit like, because you say, which substitution? I think Baptiste came off first, then Canos, then Janelt. But it's a sort of kind of, I think it's a culmination of all those, because when they came off, particularly we've talked about Janelt being the key player, we lost a bit of energy, we lost a bit of drive, and this is not a disrespect on the players that come on, because, the players come on, they do a good job. But you notice that, we've talked about that for weeks and weeks, how we do change and whether or not sort of kind of our, strength and depth is as much as it is, whether or not our fitness is as what it should be, whether or not we just are unlucky because we're, changed the game up. Did the substitutions change the game up for us? So when those three came on, I noticed that's when Brighton also started to come to the game. And maybe for Brighton, being a statsy team like us, they knew that we're going to make our substitutions at a particular time. They knew that, we're going to be taking off key players. And that's when they actually sort of decided to kind of up their game. Because if you notice, when they got that goal, they almost like started to put in a burst of energy. Whereas beforehand, like 5 or 10 minutes before, they looked like they'd given up. But all of a sudden, it's like they went wham, and then they went bang, 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 last minute, but bit of energy. We probably had a little bit of tired legs on there. Couldn't quite put the tackles in, and they scored the goal. So that, for me, was the key moment. So, but, on the flip side of it, we are only 4 games in. We are going to talk about the league positions in a minute. But, the positives for Brentford, Laney.
Positives for me is the defence. In all 4 games so far, we've looked solid, organised, well-marshalled, on the same wavelength. They know what they're doing. They hold their line. They don't get caught necessarily out of position too often. I think even when Rosliff came on, it's a big ask for what was a B team player last year to be a Premiership player this year. And I think he didn't look a weak link at all, I didn't think. For me, the positive is the defence. The other positive, if I'm allowed to quickly, was the reaction from the crowd after the final whistle. A lot of the West End stood back, waited, and I thought it was a very loud ovation, applause. So, yeah, it doesn't look like the spirit has been too affected by a defeat.
And Simon?
So I think people before the season started said we would be in a relegation dogfight. And one of the teams they named was Brighton. But actually, I think if you look at last season, they were really unlucky. And if you do believe in the stats, they should have been much higher up the table than they actually were. So, and I think Frank agreed with that because he said that this was going to be the toughest challenge that we've had. And in every single game we've played, we've had, if you look again at XG, we've had a better XG than our opponents. We've been in every single game. And if we continue to be in every single game and continue to be better than the people we play, you'd expect us to stay up quite comfortably. So I think this showed that we're able to hang with a team which is of a slightly higher level of quality than some of the ones we've played so far. And equally, I think seeing Mads come on and actually do all right, I think was really reassuring after the Forest Green Rovers game. So I think there's a lot of positives to take from that, to say that on another day, we might have won that, and Brighton are actually a pretty good team.
Okay, and for me, the positives is Shandon Baptiste playing or starting his first game for Brentford this season. Obviously, he had massive injuries last season. We weren't sure when and if he's going to come back. But he came back and I thought that he was magnificent. He looked like he can definitely hold his own in the Premier League and he's another option for us. And again, maybe with a few more games under his belt, he'll actually have even more contribution, you know. But like I said to you, he's been seen by some of us as being sort of the key player, you know. So I think for me, Shandon Baptiste actually being part of this team and knowing that he's going to really contribute and we can switch things up with him is a massive positive for the Bees. You know, obviously, we hit the goal in the last minute. So what are the things that you think that we need to look out for, Laney?
So, it's something I mentioned a couple of weeks back. I think it was like the accruing of yellow cards. I was surprised that Brian Mbeumo got booked yesterday. I thought that was harsh because there was a couple other, you know, there's a couple of Brighton players got away with what I considered were equally bad with bunny ears or worse. So that was part of the inconsistency. I don't think we should stop getting up in their faces, ragging on their asses, because you know that's again it's part of our edge. But we are going to get suspensions quite soon, and I'm not sure we really want to get players suspended. I thought Tony his reaction to Morpay after they scored that on another day, that's a booking for him as well.
So sorry, like, what happened with Tony Morpay?
Well, it looked like that Morpay was just kind of just really delaying getting back so we could restart the game. And it looked like they said words and then it looked like Tony had manhandled him back into his half. And obviously Morpay being Professor Shithouse, he was going to make the most of it. And it kind of rumbled on a bit. And, you know, I thought then Tony went in slightly late on him when he was trying to run the ball out in the corner. And I think there was word. So, I kind of get the first incident, but the afters and the afters after that. We don't need Tony picking up yellow cards. Again, I'm not getting all headmaster because, you know, that's a massive part of his game. And you do want to see your players caring like that and not being bullied, but you know it is gonna add up to needless yellow cards. We've got to be very clever in that department, I think.
Simon.
So I think in terms of things to look out for, I think obviously sort of does Baptiste get a run in that position going forward, I think is an interesting question, because Frank, I think, is recovering from COVID, it was my understanding. So we're not sure when he'll be back, but I think Baptiste made a statement that he could play there and potentially push up a bit into that kind of 8-10 role and be a bit more supportive of the front two, which might mean we might be a bit more creative. So I'd like to see whether Shandon gets a run in that position.
Sorry, just to interrupt you, but Frank did come on, you know, for the last 10-15 minutes, though, you know, and he was doing his running around Frank the Tank thing. So
yeah,
he is back. So it's kind of where is that balance, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
Who would you put in?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is about stuff we don't know, right? So are they giving Frank 10 minutes because they're easing him back into it and they're just building him back up to be the regular starter and Shandon's filling in, or is it an actual battle for that position? And I think Shandon did nothing to lose the shirt, and you always do that thing about if there's someone who's putting a good shift, you don't want to drop him because that creates competition throughout the squad. So I'd stick with Shandon until he gives us a reason to put Frank back in, even though Frank looked excellent since he's been in a Brentford shirt. So that's okay.
And the other thing? And the other thing, because you had another little point, didn't you?
Yeah, which was just, I suppose if the way we play is you know, sort of either are we looking at to score a set-piece goal or something like that, or we're looking at Ivan to flick stuff on to Brian, or for us to counter-press, and that's normally Brian's our best at counter-pressing to try and get it on goal. With Brian's sort of, you know, sort of maybe lack of finishing compared to sort of a Force or someone else, I'm just wondering whether what happens to Wissa, because he's clearly got a bit more of a pedigree in terms of perhaps finishing some of those chances, but doesn't have the same sort of closing down ability so far that Brian has. And so I wonder whether if we see a couple more performances where Brian does everything but score, whether we might see either Wissa come in or a slight change of shape. Because one of the reasons Ivan's not scoring open play goals is we don't have those two wide players cutting balls back for him. And he scored so many goals last season with, you know, Sergio or Brian or someone getting to the byline and cutting it back. But the way we play with two up top, that's not really going to happen. So you need you need your second striker, like Brian, actually being able to get on the end of those flick-ons and actually sort of hit the back of the net. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. Not soon, but maybe in a game or two.
Do you think that maybe Wiese should have come on as one of the subs instead of someone else, maybe to give that edge?
I think so. I mean, I think the way we play is obviously the sort of obvious thing is to sort of take off one of the three centre midfielders because they put in such a shift in that they're likely to get tired, which means you're unlikely perhaps to sub someone off. But I think Wiese probably could have had a run to try and get a goal, yeah.
Okay, and for me, I've said it enough times, but it's the fitness of Brentford. It's the fact that we actually kind of lose that energy after we get our subs and people can actually take advantage. So for me, that's the thing that we need to watch out for. And I think obviously we'll try and build on that in the season. Home game, so no away day to talk about. But still, it's a day out. It's a day out for Brentford fans. It's a day out for Brighton fans. So give us your fans marks out of 10. Laney.
For Brighton, poor. The only time I really heard them was after they scored, which was the 90th minute. The noise they made then was pretty impressive. I bumped into a few lads back in the pub afterwards. They were fine-ish. Obviously, they're a little bit bravado because they'd won, which is fine. It's their prerogative. So Brighton fans, I'd give 4. Brentford fans, I would give 7. I thought the noise wasn't as high as the Arsenal game, but you know, there's reasons for that. We'd obviously scored early and scored another one, you know, in the second half. So yeah, a goal would have lifted the crowd, I think. So yeah, Brentford fans, I'd give 7 out of 10.
Okay, and Simon,
I'd also give Brentford a 7 out of 10. I think probably the stewards might have had a hand in maybe that being lower than it would have been otherwise, but I think daytime game after the euphoria of the Arsenal game, after another couple of results, there was always the danger this might be a bit quieter. But I actually was quite surprised. I think, had some good energy, but it could have been higher if the stewards hadn't stopped us from standing up and singing.
So out of 10?
7 out of 10 as well, I think, for me.
7 out of 10. And interesting, because you're closer to the Brighton fans. I'm just wondering, what were the Brighton fans from a different stand? What was their vibe?
I mean, you still couldn't hear them much. I mean, it wasn't just that you were singing over them. I mean, they weren't the loudest, possibly because they hadn't had a drink or two. Maybe that was the answer.
Okay, all right. Wait, maybe I retract my stinker then. Actually, no. I still stand by it. But for me, I thought the Beast fans 7 out of 10. I think this was a typical game because we're going to get games throughout the season when you play teams like. And again, this is not teams like. Not, but they are. I'm saying it like Norwich's, maybe like your Burnley's, which you know you don't necessarily get as hyped up as when you play teams like Fulham or you know Arsenal or maybe Man United. So you know the excitement is there. So it's games that we actually need to win on the terraces as well as in the stand. And I think this is the one. It was a real tester to see what the fans are like. And I think we were there in fits and starts, and we did have some bouts of singing and bouts of loudness in the West Stand. The stewards did not help it, no, not at all. But I think we were right. 7 out of 10 for me. The Brighton fans, it's difficult because I saw them jumping up and down and making noise and such. 6 out of 10. Also, I spoke quite a lot to the lads. They're actually on the post-match podcast. If you listen to it, prideofwest.london, they spoke quite a lot about Brentford and actually gave us a lot of props on there as well. So for that, I'm actually going to give the Brighton fans 7 out of 10 because I thought that they were friendly. They liked to have a laugh. You know, Kevin Maguire and all the AD and all the, you know, Brighton Roar and the Brighton, you know, all the podcast guys, they've been good and they're very, very, you know, friendly. So for me, I'm going to give them a good old 7 out of 10 for that as well, over in general. Just quickly, we need to do a league recap just to see where we are. You know, we are 10th in the league. Things are, you know, looking at that, it just goes to show you, you know, where I was 10th in the league. We're above Crystal Palace, Aston Villa, Wolverhampton Wanderers, who we play next week, you know, who have got 3 points, Southampton on 3 points. Overall, actually, it's not looking as bad as you may think, especially after a loss, is it, Laney?
No, it isn't. The 5 points we got in the first phase of matches was you know, they're worth their weight in gold at the moment. You know, just look at Norwich; that's their fourth straight defeat. You know, that's so depressing. You know, you just thank God that's not us, because you'd be resigned yourself to probably relegation already. I know it's a huge amount to go. But it shows, you know, you're out of your depth if you're not picking up those points. The game for me before ours was the Palace 3, Tottenham 0. That was a bit of an eye-opener as well. It made our result at Selhurst Park look a lot better. It wasn't the result I wanted. I mean, I put Palace in the group of teams around us. You don't want them picking up points. So, yeah, but then fair play to them. And then what Watford lost again. So, you know, we want to see that every week.
Yeah, and just from the Palace game, just looking at it, also chances-wise, was obviously, you know, there's only one team that has got an XG over one, and that's Arsenal that we've played against, actually. And we thought that Arsenal were probably not the best, but they're the team that have actually created the best chances. Crystal Palace had an XG of nearly three against Tottenham, like, you know what I'm saying? So they had a plethora of chances. I mean, I know there's a penalty involved there as well, but still, they had a plethora of chances. So it just goes to show you probably how we actually may have underestimated how well we did to contain that Palace team. I mean, Simon, just looking at the results, you know, we're talking about Arsenal 1, Norwich 0. I mean, they snuck a win against Norwich, even though looking at the chances, they probably should have actually scored a few more as well. You're talking about Newcastle losing 4-1 to Man United. You're losing Southampton, drawing, you know, the results actually for us, and it's very early in the season, actually don't look too bad, do they?
No, and people talk about the tiers in the Premier League. And I think in terms of the tiers, which we'd be most worried about is that bottom tier, that kind of group which we're competing with and want to make sure that we're doing better than. And, you know, with Norwich, Newcastle and Watford all losing, they didn't gain any ground on us. And we already had a decent start of the season. So I think that's the main takeaway. And, you know, Burnley weren't playing either, but, you know, so they didn't gain any ground on us either. So I think in terms of sort of most of the results, I think the Palace one, as you say, is the only one which jumped out. And otherwise, things went all right for us, I think.
They did. So look, didn't win, but we're still in the game, as they say. Just give us briefly your summing up, Laney.
Summing up, let's not get too down in the dumps over it. It literally has to be put down as learning curve. And some fans will hear that and go jumpy up and down and go, should have won, got to take a shot. Yeah, we know all of that. But we are Brentford in our first season at this level. We're going to have to be philosophical about it. If you think we're going to be challenging for Europe, you probably need your head tested. If you think we're going to win it, you probably definitely need your head tested. We know where we are. We know where probably, hopefully, we're going to finish. That's where we hope, right in the middle somewhere. And if you're going to be right in the middle somewhere, that means you're going to draw a lot. You're going to lose a fair number, and you're going to win not as many as you draw and you lose. So, you know, let's keep on getting behind the team and spurring them on. They need all the encouragement they can get, especially in these next few games, especially at Wolves away. If you haven't got a ticket, you can go.
I think what it showed, I think, is maybe barring the top six, who we haven't really had a chance to play yet, we're going to be in every single game we play, I think, in this league. And if we do that and we compete and we're going to be ahead on XG and just, you know, lose to the occasional unlucky goal or maybe get a deflected winner or whatever, we're going to be fine. And so I think this is just saying that, you know, you've got to not get too low with the lows. And when we get a bit of a lucky win, don't think we're the best thing ever. So I think in summing up, you know, sort of we've got to take our chances. But there was a lot to not be too depressed about in terms of that, in terms of perhaps even maybe being the better side and being unlucky not to get a result.
And for me, I mean, the summing up, I mean, if you just look at the game itself, you know, for Brighton, you know, they were deemed as having actually no significant strengths in that game, you know, and they gave a lot of free kicks around the box. So they were deemed as being not really in that game as such. Okay, they did. This is not disrespect to them. This is just, you know, even the Brighton fans said so. And for Brentford, you know, we stole the ball a lot from them, you know, but we didn't finish and we lost possession often. So, and what I've noticed is that we actually didn't lose possession a lot beforehand. We weren't just giving the ball away in midfield, but we did do that as well. And also, our finishing is poor. At the end of the day, you know, you do have off games, and I think we got to put that down to an off game. I said, like I said to you, it's a must-win game. You know, I've said it with sort of tongue-in-cheek slightly, but I do believe that we should have won that game, whether or not it's at the beginning of the season and the end of the season. We didn't do. We just have to go back and do it again, but it shows we've got the tools to do that, so I'm confident with that. So let's just put that down as an off game, put it behind us, and let's put forward to Wolves, and let's be positive. So, there you go. This is the Besotted Pride of West London Weekend Review. Thank you very much, chaps, for that, because I feel a lot better getting that off my chest.
It's good, isn't it? It's nice. It's nice just to kind of have a Sunday kind of cathartic chat through.
That's right. And like I said to you, you know, we're looking at this not massively analytically, because we'll actually have a look at that more on the Thursday podcast when we've got, you know, the spreadsheet winker. Will the spreadsheet winker will be bringing down numbers for us. You know, we've got JB actually picking us up with his facts and his funk. We'll also be speaking to a Wolves fan as well, who'll be giving us the lowdown on Wolves. But for now, just to low down and to hone down on a few of the issues after, you know, because the thing about it, Laney, is in the pub afterwards, it was a weird feeling, wasn't it? Because we thought we haven't had this feeling for over 2 years of having a drink and trying to speak to your mates to kind of get that lost feeling out of you. It was really strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, I hope we don't feel it again for a few more weeks. But yeah, I think the power of a beer, a pub, and a chat post-match, it came into its own yesterday, because I know when I left the pub to come home, I felt a lot better than I did when I walked in.
Right, okay. So there you go. So listen, don't forget to subscribe to us on all good podcast channels. You can, if you'd like to, you like what we're doing, just buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. We'd like to thank you. Everyone's contributed. Saw the Francis man as well yesterday, and I said to you, pick up. You know, we'll be talking to you, all of you lot as well, for helping us and supporting us as well. Thursday podcast, just check out Wolverhampton Wanderers. But other than that, like I said to you, my name's Billy Grant, and we've got Laney Man in the house.
Good afternoon.
And we've got the Simon the Redford in the house.
See ya.
And like I said to you, we'll catch you later on the week. Pride of West. London, we say, because we're very happy to say, we're going to be sad.
Come on, you bees.
You bees. Maybe the seagulls, but
you bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.